Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
First, you find a product that is solving a problem, and you make sure that the top competitors for that product that are selling it, at least five of them, have fewer than 100 reviews, which means if someone with less than 100 reviews is selling really well, then you can launch a new product and probably sell it very well also. Then you make sure it's selling at least 12 to 15 times a day. That's a general rule. Profit is more important than how many times it sells, but that always indicates if between 12 and 15 minimum indicates very strong demand for a product. You find that product, you make sure there aren't too many reviews using the criteria I mentioned, and then you start reading the critical reviews and you ask yourself a simple question. When I look at all the critical reviews, or I should say the top ranking critical reviews for the top competitors, what are the customers saying that they don't like about this product?
This is Henneka. I'm so glad you took the time to stop by today. In Jamaican parlance, Wagwan, me glad say adayo. This episode is sponsored by HennekaWatkusPorter.com as well as the Jamaica Stock Exchange. Now on HennekaWatkusPorter.com, you can visit us for blogs, resources, books, online podcast courses, podcasts, and more. If you are new to the Entrepreneurial You podcast, be sure to check out past episodes with guests such as John Lee Dumas, Patrice Washington, Seth Godin, Richard Branson, Amy Porterfield, and a host of other game changers.
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors, and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
And now, here's today's episode. Life's too short to hang out with people who aren't resourceful. Jeff Bezos. Of course, the Amazon boss, as you all know. Greetings, 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 my peak performer, my community, my visitor, my supporter, my fan, whatever you consider yourself to be in relation to this podcast. I welcome you so much here, and I trust that you'll have insights. You'll take away insights from what we're going to be talking about with my guests. So welcome to episode 204 of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Henico Watkiss-Porter. Today's episode is with Seth Kniep, and let me just give you a little bit about him. Frustrated in his corporate job and struggling in his marriage, parenting and finances, Seth started with a single dime. Yes, you heard me correctly. A single dime. With a dream that if he kept doubling it, he could leave his corporate job and create margin for him and his family. Today, Seth is a full-time Amazon seller and is the founder of Just One Dime, a coaching company for Amazon FBA sellers, and that's fulfilled by Amazon, for clarity. Seth has students in over 100 countries. He was flown to Amazon's headquarters to be consulted for improving Amazon's third-party platform. He was asked by a company owned by a shark from Shark Tank to run their online Amazon and e-commerce division, runs a sourcing team in China, and was requested by two countries to train their top businesses. So I am super excited. I am all ears as I'm about to have this conversation on how to launch a new business when all you have is a dime. I'm about to talk with Seth Kniep. Welcome, Seth.
Thank you so much, Hanika, for having me on today. I'm excited to be here, and I am happy to share whatever I can so that the listeners of this podcast can grow their business and find freedom to do the things they love with the people they love.
I love that, you know, and that's what we're all about. We're all about creating value for those who, you know, give us a share of their air, spend their time with us out of, you know, what it is that they could otherwise be doing, and to come here. And so we are happy to share value. And so that is why you're here. Now, before we talk about the hot topic, right, how to launch a new business when all you have is a dime, I would like to ask you, Seth, have you ever been to Jamaica?
I have not.
Ah, wrong answer. Wrong answer.
Well, and why hasn't that real? I have to keep it real to honor my last name.
I know, right? And why hasn't that happened yet? Do you have plans? Do you know anything about Jamaica? What have you heard about Jamaica?
The reggae music I hear is amazing.
Aha, uh-huh. It is indeed. It is indeed. And you should check out Bob Marley if you haven't yet done so. I'll send you a link just to make sure that you do. Yes, of course, our music is amazing and our food and just, yeah, I really love our culture. Yes, I'm a big proponent and I'm an ambassador for my country. Love my country, love my culture. So that's why I started that way with every time that I speak to a guest, I bring my Jamaican-ness to
love
the fore.
Well, something you probably don't even know about me, Henika, is I have a fascination with the golden age of the pirates. And I think the stories have not been told the way they really are. You have Disney's version of it. You have Black Flag's version of it. But every night before I go to bed, you can ask my wife to verify this, I read history on the pirates of the late 1600s and early 1700s. And in the Caribbean area, we've been to Costa Rica. We're looking currently at properties in Colombia. We've also considered properties in Nicaragua. But if you look at just the whole Caribbean area, the history there is both heartbreaking, adventurous, exciting, scary. Like, it's an amazing time of the world. So I think it's only a matter of time before I'm there someday on a set creating a movie to relive or reenact some of the heartbreaking but also fascinating times of that period. So it's only a matter of time, Henika.
Yeah. You've redeemed yourself well with such an interesting history and take. Right? You have redeemed yourself, Seth. All right. So I have said a lot in the intro about you and your accomplishments, where you are, where you started from and all of that. But, you know, without it being in that, you know, formal sentence structure and all of that, if you would take a moment, Seth, and just share with myself and my listeners, what really is your story? And I mean, just give us a picture perhaps of a 12-year-old Seth and what kind of propelled you into who you are right now.
Absolutely. So years ago, I wanted to be in full-time ministry. That was my passion. I felt like if I can help people on a spiritual level, then that's the most honorable thing I could do. And it took me, you asked me to go back to 12 years old. I'm taking all the way back. And it took me going through a major crisis, not only in my marriage, but in my identity, to realize the best way I can help people is first by helping myself. And I think what was happening is I thought that because there were all these broken places inside of me, if I can pour my heart into trying to help other people, helping them on an eternal spiritual level, that'll fix the broken places inside of me. And I never would have consciously told you that, but I think that's what was going on the inside. And it required me to become completely wrecked before I realized, wait, Seth, you have a lot of healing and growing to do before you're ready to help other people. And the path that you're supposed to help people is going to be very different than what you originally thought. So when we moved to Austin, we moved here to plant a church. That was our passion. Like, we're going to plant, and by we, I mean me and my wife. It only took us a few months before our marriage almost completely fell apart. I was in debt. We were living off of credit cards. I had so many hangups in my life. And that's when I began to realize something has to change. And so I like to say from about 2010 to 2014 is my wandering period. And I'll never forget the day when my eldest daughter, she stenciled on a mug, "All who wander are not lost." And the idea behind that is you can have a wandering season in your life. It could be days, it could be weeks, it could be months, it even could be years. But that wandering season sometimes is necessary for you to rediscover who you were meant to be and to find purpose. And that's when I got the idea of 10 cents, a single dime.
Wow. You know, we could have unpacked that and not even consider the topic that we were, you know, scheduled to talk about, right? That was just so much to unpack. And, you know, broken crayon still color is what came to me as you said that, you know. So many of us experience brokenness in our lives, and that brokenness led to what is now beautiful, because we're never born whole. I mean, well, perhaps we're born whole, but somewhere along the line, we got quote unquote messed up, but that messiness became the message that and we became messengers to bring that message forward, that guess what, you can pick yourself up, brush off, and pivot as many times as you want, right? And get to the place where you ought to get to. And so many people are looking to us to help them other people's purpose. We play such a huge role in it. And I'm really thrilled to hear that story. Now, fast track to your Amazon connection and your success with Amazon, right? When did you recognize that, you know what? By the way, are you still a part of the Christian faith?
Yes, absolutely I am. And it's become more deep than it ever has, because it helped me to realize this is not about a system. It's about a relationship with God. So for me, and it's just something I'm not like, I don't go around talking about all the time. When people ask me, I'm totally happy to talk about it. I am still part of the Christian faith. And what it did is it helped me to rediscover Jesus in a whole new way that was far deeper for me now.
Wow. Can I get a hallelujah? Because, you know, I mean, that is like my story and everybody's story who has come into a relationship and not been bogged down really with what others say Christianity or faith or whatever ought to look like. But when we find that relationship for our own, I mean, we know we piss some people off because we're not living the are you know, projecting a certain kind of image that they're expecting, we come into our own and we understand that it is deeper than, you know, do not wear this, do not say that, do not, you know what I mean? It's about a relationship. Exactly. So no, let me get back to the question, because I'm so excited talking about this and I could go along a totally different journey, but we're gonna deliver what we promised that we will deliver. So I was about to ask you about your Amazon story and the success that you've been experiencing. How did that happen vis-a-vis what you experienced in, for want of a better term, your brokenness?
Yeah, absolutely. So one day I'm driving in our broken up minivan and I look down at the coin tray and I notice some coins. And for some random reason, I don't even know why, I picked up a dime and I thought, man, this is interesting. It is the smallest coin of US currency for its size. What if I doubled this 5, 10, 20 times? I'm just curious. And so I got on my calculator, I calculated it, and I was shocked to realize it's over $100,000 if you double a dime 20 times. And so that's when I started to think, wait, what if I did this? And I know it makes more sense to start a business with $10 or $100 or $1,000. And I'm sure I could have, you know, scratched up enough money to do that. But for me, I needed to learn how to be faithful with something as insignificant and small as 10 cents. This was more about me needing to prove to myself that I had the discipline to start with something very small and watch it grow faithfully. Because if you're faithful in little, then you can be faithful in much, but you can't start with much. Sometimes you have to start with very little. And in the back of my mind, Henneke, I knew in my heart that someday this story is going to motivate other people who feel like they're at the bottom of their barrel. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to make the next step. And maybe all they have is 10 cents, either metaphorically or physically. It doesn't matter. And so the way I started is I just walked around downtown here in Austin and I just began to ask people, hey, someday I would love to grow this into a lot of money, use it to pay off my house, start a business. Will you double it for me? And the first guy I talked to, he was fine. He's like, sure, I'll give you 10 cents. Not a big deal. I walked home the first day having doubled it four times. So now I would have gone from 10 cents to 20 cents to 40 cents to 80 cents. And that might sound silly to a lot of people. And even though I documented this and I shared it on YouTube, no one cared. No one watched. There was no acclamation. I didn't care. I knew if I kept going, someday this is going to help people and it will help me. Even my wife thought it was a little silly. She believed in me, but she also thought I'm like a little idealistic. They said, this isn't realistic. Come on. And so I just kept going. And I got all the way to $400 just for asking. I took the $400, and this is, by the way, I have not bought anything yet. I have not sold anything yet. I just got the $400 asking random people. When I got the $400, and just so you know, at some point I had to make it an even number, because if you double 10 cents, it's not going to end up at 400, but I did it just for my own sanity. And every morning I would, or every evening when I'd finish, I would come home, I'd sit in my office, and there's a drawer at the desk to my right. I would grab an envelope and I would stick the money in there. And this was the beginning. And I took that $400 and I began to research eBay. I was passionate about selling on eBay. And I noticed that cremation urns that can hang around your neck sell really well. And so I purchased $400 worth of cremation urns from DH Gate. And to me at that time, Henneke, I was scared. $400 was everything I had built. So for me, it was like, this is my nest egg. This is my hope. This is the next big step. And I just spent all of it on a product that I've never sold before. I have very little experience selling on eBay. Is it going to work? And so I purchased the products. I listed it on eBay and I got one sale. And then a week went by and I got another sale. And the sales were incredibly slow. And that's when I continued to research and I started to hear from different places online that you can sell on Amazon. So I listed them on Amazon and they began to sell faster. And then one day I thought, you know, why not send these in and let Amazon fulfill the orders? And so when I did that, they began to sell like 10 times a day very quickly. And so all of a sudden, I'm starting to make my money back very, very quickly. And, you know, $100 a day to me was a lot. And that's when I realized something big is happening here. And that's when I said, okay, now I know what I need to do. I need to go all out on Amazon. And by the way, during this time, Henneke, I'm still working for Apple full time. And I also began to drive for Lyft and Uber. And I also tried to launch a vape e-cigarette business, which failed miserably along the way. So I'm doing all these things. I was just in a mode where I have to turn stuff into cash to create cash flow so I can pay off our debt. I want to build a business so that I'm free from my 9-to-5. That's what kept driving me. That was the fire in my heart to keep me going.
So we're going to be talking a little bit about your why and the fact that your mindset. But you know what? And even as we talk about mindset, I listen to you and I'm really like thinking. So I have this quote unquote word habit. It's not word, but for many people it is. Mm-hmm. I walk on the streets and I literally pick up every dollar. Now, the Jamaican dollar is at this point $148 to one US dollar. So just imagine how quote unquote insignificant it is. But every time I walk on the street, I'm walking in the mornings, I'm walking with my walking partner in the evening, wherever I'm walking sometimes, I pick up every dollar, every $10, every $20. This morning I smiled because when I was doing my morning walk, I found my biggest stash yet, which was $120. I'm like, whoa. And I collect all of those and I put in a jar. And I say to myself, you know what? A million has to start from one. There's absolutely no way you can get to a million without one. And so I believe that the dollar that people pass by because they don't think it has any value is important. And over a certain time, I am going to calculate it and I'm going to amaze people how much money I would have saved. So mindset is very important, how you look at things. But you had a great sense of why you were doing it. You know, Simon Sinek talks a lot about people really don't care what we do or even how we do it, but why we do it, right? And what it is that you're doing and what was driving you was, talk a little more about that. Yes, you talk about your debt and so on, but inside of you, what was really driving all of that? What was your deep sense of why?
Yeah, I've always, ever since I was 12 years old, I've always had a sense that I was supposed to help people in some way. I just didn't know how. I've also, ever since I was 11 years old, I've always had a desire to do something on my, like when I was 11 years old, and it's funny, I totally forgot about it until I was in my 30s and looked back. I started this yard sale. I, you know, put all my stuff out. I had price tags and everything. I put a sign out front, and my oldest brother felt so sorry for me. He went to the van. He got coins out of the ashtray and used that to buy one of my products. But I've always had a desire to sell and to build something. So my why was, my marriage was stressed out. A lot of my energy was turning towards my wife. I would let the stress from work, I would turn it against her, which is totally unfair. I mean, even her dog didn't like me.
That's sad.
So it's like I realized I needed a purpose. I really think I was looking for a purpose. And I was just done living paycheck to paycheck. I was so tired of taking my family to a restaurant. And because I was terrible at managing money, we wouldn't have enough in our account because I didn't check. And we all go to lunch and I give them the debit card and the waitress comes back and says, embarrassingly on my behalf, it was declined. So I have to walk out to a broken down minivan, grab the checkbook and walk back. I used to call this the walk of death because it was so, I just felt so much shame and embarrassment that I couldn't even take my family to lunch. And for me, it wasn't about the money. The money is a tool. It's a means to an end. It was about having that freedom. I wanted to create freedom. So looking back when I'm 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, I could say, you know what? I was able to create an amazing life for my wife, for my four children. I was able to have margins so that we actually could do the things I love with the people that I love. And I could take the same message that gave me hope and pass it on to other people so they have hope, so they have motivation. I believe with all my heart that anyone can change their situation if they're willing to accept grace for their faults, if they're willing to take little steps, just like you're doing when you pick up those dollars, when I'm doubling my dime, if they're willing to count each little decision as a victory and show themselves grace when they mess up, when they fall, when they feel guilty, there's always grace offered. And to be able to keep moving forward and learn from our mistakes, anyone can. And I think there's a message in the world that says, you know, you're not good enough, or you'll never be this good, or you're just meant to do this. And yet they have these dreams, but they don't even imagine that they could fulfill those dreams. So that's what was driving me. I had gotten to such a low point, Henika, that I needed a change. And that change said, okay, I'm going to start with a dime. I don't care how small it is. I don't care. I literally took a dime and I glued it to the wall of our garage. I still have pictures from it. And I drew like a plan around it. And just to remind me, there's a dime, little tiny coin on the wall in the garage. It doesn't matter how small you start. The only question is, will you keep learning and growing as you go and be willing to make mistakes along the way?
Absolutely. You know, you've just given me an idea for my coins. Anyway, somebody once asked me the question, Henika, what it is that you're chasing? Because they see my drive, they see my passion. And the one word response I gave them was freedom. You know, freedom, because at the end of the day, we all want to the freedom to explore what it is that we want to explore, the freedom to live a life of purpose. You know, and once we have that defined, clearly defined, once we are able to pause and take a break from this noisome world and, you know, just pause long enough to listen, we will hear and know what that purpose really is. So you were taking us, Seth, before we, you know, we started looking at other things as well. Your Amazon story from you move from eBay onto Amazon, recognizing what you can do and so on to accomplish success. Now, what I'd love to ask you at this point is to kind of give us a step-by-step of how to succeed on Amazon, because I know particularly at this time when everybody and their spouses are online, because we've been forced online. I mean, well, some of us went there before we were forced there, right? I'm one of those who went there before. But since everybody's now looking for that perfect answer, can you just give us an overview, like a step-by-step? How then do we succeed on Amazon if we want to sell?
Yes, absolutely. So, and just, I want to take one step back in front of that. What I learned the hard way. I made so many mistakes along the way. So what I'm about to share, your listeners, everyone listening, you can apply what I'm telling you. This will help you to avoid as many mistakes as I made. First, you find a product that is solving a problem, and you make sure that the top competitors for that product that are selling it, at least five of them have fewer than 100 reviews, which means if someone with less than 100 reviews is selling really well, then you can launch a new product and probably sell it very well also. Then you make sure it's selling at least 12 to 15 times a day. That's a general rule. Profit is more important than how many times it sells, but that always indicates if between 12 and 15 minimum indicates very strong demand for a product. You find that product, you make sure there aren't too many reviews using the criteria I mentioned, and then you start reading the critical reviews and you ask yourself a simple question. When I look at all the critical reviews, or I should say the top ranking critical reviews for the top competitors, what are the customers saying that they don't like about this product? Yes, your product is going to include all the benefits and the features of the competitors, but what is it that's missing? Maybe the hinge is too stiff. Maybe the color is not masculine or feminine enough for this audience. Maybe it should be in a jumbo pack instead of a small pack. Like, there's so many different things you can do. That is golden information, because the customers are literally telling you, this is what we want. And then you go build your product based on that feedback. Once you have that feedback and you have your supplier, you can find them in Alibaba. There's many, you can find them on DHgate. There's many ways to do that. Once you find your supplier and they build it out using the unique method, or the differentiation, the fixing the problem that you found from the reviews, that's when you have the supplier ship them into Amazon's fulfillment center and you begin to sell them. You can or cannot, it is up to you, use PPC. I recommend PPC if you want to rank faster.
And we've that's for many, those who are not quite sure, that's paid per click?
Yes. Right. Yep, exactly. It's basically, it's like Google Ads or Instagram or Facebook ads, but it's Amazon's version of them. So when you launch the product, when you ship the products into Amazon's fulfillment center, there is an option on your account when you log into your Amazon seller account where you can say, I want to promote this using ads. And all that means is, if I, let's just say the product is a microphone. I'm standing next to a microphone right now. If I'm the shopper and I search podcast microphone, the ads means it's going to come up sooner. In other words, you're paying for people to see it because it doesn't have a ranking yet because it's brand new. It's a virgin listing to Amazon. So when you have ads, it's going to push it up to the top. And now people are going to click on it if you did a great job with your photos. And if you are adding value, they're going to begin to buy it. Now, there's two things I want to add, Henneke, really quick, because these are so important. Two things that a lot of people make this mistake on that I had to learn the hard way. Number one, when you actually three things. Number one, when your manufacturer produces the product, get an inspection company to inspect it before you pay the remaining 70%. As a general rule of thumb, you pay 30% to the supplier, they go into production, they complete production, then you pay for an inspection company to go and inspect the product to make sure, and they'll take videos of it, they'll take pictures. You'll tell them exactly what to look for to make sure it's done exactly as you need. That's tip number one. Tip number two, do not go cheap on photos. If I go to Amazon, my only chance of trusting that your product is going to deliver the needs that I'm trying to meet is if the photos are absolutely stellar. I've seen so many new Amazon sellers go cheap on photos. Oh, I'll do it myself, or I'll just, you know, it's got a little of a blue light, who cares, or it's in the shadows and it just looks terrible. And then they say, Seth, why am I not getting sales? And I'll tell them, I'll say, your images suck. I'll just be blunt. Your images are terrible. You need excellent images, because if I walk into a brick and mortar retail store, I have the chance of picking up the microphone. I can feel it. I can play with it. Heck, I can smell it. But on Amazon, the only sense, the only of the senses that we have been given to use. The only sense they have is their eyes. Therefore, your photos, is your photography, especially your featured photo, is going to be the number one most powerful tool for converting that click when they clicked on the listing into a buy when they add it to the cart and buy the product. So we got the product inspection. That's one tip. It'll save you money. Number two, it's better to spend a little more money on photos to get them right. Otherwise, you end up wasting money. And number three, when you launch your product, make sure that you put it in the correct category. So many times, Seneca, I see Amazon sellers putting it in a different category because they think it's like being sneaky and it's easier to rank because there's less competition. If the category is not, in other words, let's just take microphones, for example, it needs to be in the podcast microphone category. There's an actual category in Amazon that is podcast microphones. If it's not, your PPC won't work well. You won't show up for the right people looking for your product. It's like getting the wrong matchmaker. So in a very broad overview, that is how you succeed on Amazon. Again, you find a product, you solve the problem better than anyone else. You find a supplier, you inspect the product, you have it shipped to Amazon Fulfillment Center, you get amazing photos of the product. So good, you feel like you can experience the product even before it's in your hands. And then you run PPC so people can see it. And once it starts to take a life on its own, you can lower your PPC costs because as they click and buy, it's going to develop a ranking organically, which means without paying for PPC.
Wow, such wealth and depth of knowledge based on your experience. I really, really thank you, Seth Kinney, for sharing this with me and my audience. Really, really impressed with what you've been able to accomplish and the information that you share, which is of so much value. I've learned a lot from you, and I know that my community has learned too. So I want to ask you at this point, Seth, to share how might my community get in touch with you for any, you know, follow-up questions, any just to get insight into what you're doing and how to learn a lot more from you.
Sure, absolutely. So there's a website. It's jod.com. It stands for Just One Dime. Again, jod.com. They can go there. We have a ton of free resources right there. Or if they want to email me directly, I will personally respond to the email. It's seth@jod.com. So jod.com or seth@jod.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Seth Kinney. I, again, appreciate and value your time.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Henneke, for having me on the podcast. And I hope that your listeners got a ton of value out of this today. And I hope that it added a lot of hope as well.
Definitely. And thank you, my peak performer, for tuning in to this episode with Seth Kinney. I look forward to connecting with you next week. But of course, in the meantime, I would love the opportunity to coach you one-on-one to start your podcast, or perhaps invite you, if you're not interested right now to start a podcast, invite you to join my upcoming mastermind group to level up in your life's calling. Remember, you're here for a purpose. You're not a mere statistic. And I want to help you to unleash and unearth that which you are called here to do. So visit hennikawatkinsportal.com and send me a WhatsApp right from my homepage. That message will come directly to my phone. I'll be happy to help you on your journey. This week's point of hope. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Psalm 147, verse 11. What good.